Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show here on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. We are too blessed to be stressed. I love to say this, Jess. Too anointed to be disappointed. And if hope was money, we'd be billionaires because we know the end of the story. We win. Brother Jess, are you reporting for duty, sir? Because I am.
I'm on duty, Terry.
I love it.
Terry, the month of June.
Yeah.
In the Catholic faith.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, good.
It goes to show you the difference between the world run by Satan.
Exactly.
And the kingdom of God, the Catholic faith. The month of June for us as Catholics, it's dedicated to the Sacred Heart of Jesus.
Yep.
In 1693, Sister Mary, Margaret Mary Alacoque, she had the first of four visions of our Lord Jesus Christ with the Sacred Heart exposed. It was burning with love for all of us.
Mm.
And so in the month of June, for us as Catholics, we don't celebrate Pride Month.
Nope.
Nope. We don't celebrate LGBTQ. Nope. What we do is we make sure that we consecrate ourselves and our family to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And make sure in your house you have somewhere, you have the image of the Sacred Heart in your home.
Man.
Or a statue of the Sacred Heart of Jesus in your home, blessed by a Catholic priest, because this indicates and reminds us that Jesus Christ is the King and Lord of our homes, our marriages, and our families. Terry?
Jesse, well said. And today's show, we're going to have a special guest, Father Stephen Imbarto, a Catholic radio host. He's going to be talking about the first ever National Men's March to protest the mass murder of abortions in our country. I think it's about time men take to the streets. Also, we're going to be talking about the tale of two Jameses. What? Yeah. James Altman and Father Martin. And see the contrast of those two Father Jameses. Also, Jesse, just want to give some news. China, over the weekend, it's released that they're now saying parents can now have three children after birth rates plummeted with only one child policy. Jesse, we just did a show last week about this whole thing about demographics. And I think the Chinese realize not too many people immigrate to China. And there's a good reason. Nobody wants to live under communism. Check it out. But they
and
so, do.
Yeah, and also, Terry, they're realizing that if they want to take over the world, which they do, they need people.
Exactly.
They need soldiers. They need foot soldiers.
You got it.
And so that's why they're saying, you know what? Maybe this one child, two child policy is no good. Let's try three child.
Yeah, they see it all. And I have to say that I'm glad they're seeing that. I wish some other countries would realize that without children being born, you'll have nothing of havoc.
Like Italy.
Yeah, like Italy. Everything's vacant. So that's what we got. But Jesse, before we get to Fulton Sheen, and I got a great quote about Sheen, about a war.
I want to talk a little bit about Justin Martyr, too. A little.
Oh, yeah. And we'll go the gospel and Justin Martyr. What a layman in our time. Boy, what a great
gosh.
Guy. Okay, Jess, let's get some soul food, brother.
Okay. Speak, Lord, your servants are listening to Mark chapter 12, verses 13 to 17.
Yep.
Today's holy gospel. Some Pharisees and Herodians were sent to Jesus to ensnare him in his speech. They came and said to him, "Teacher, we know that you are a truthful man and that you are not concerned with anyone's opinion." This is what we're always saying in the show.
Yep.
We're not concerned with anyone's opinion. It's right in the Bible.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Biblical.
We're not concerned with Father James Martin's opinion or anybody's prelate. And look at what the Bible says. You do not regard a person's status. That's what I tell people all the time. God doesn't care if you're a president or if you're a speaker of the house or a lawyer. He's not impressed with that. He looks at your soul. Are you in a state of grace? It's right here. They tell Jesus, you do not regard a person's status, but teach the way of God in accordance with the truth.
Yep, that's it.
Is it lawful to pay the census tax to Caesar or not? Should we pay or should we not pay? Knowing their hypocrisy, he said to them, "Why are you testing me? Bring me a denarius to look at." They brought him one. They brought one to him, and he said to them, "Whose image and inscription is this?" They replied to him, "Caesar's." So Jesus said to them, "Repay to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and to God what belongs to God." They were utterly amazed at him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks. The gospel of God. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
There you go.
Yep. Wow, that's a powerful reading. And you
Terry,
know,
the most important part that jumped at me.
Yeah, what is it?
Jesus doesn't care about people's opinions.
Nope.
What we care about is the holy doctrine that comes from Christ.
Absolutely.
And Jesus is not impressed with anybody's status in life. You know, the only thing that impresses him, as it says in Psalm 51, a broken and contrite heart. Terry, take it away.
No, well said, Jesse. I'm not going to say any more other than I want to bring Fulton Sheen into the picture. Oh, clean ahead. Jesse, if this doesn't fit us today in 2021, I don't know what does. Sheen says, we do not know what the future holds. Really? That's true. Whether the battle will be bloody or unbloody. We only know that the world is beginning to polarize and the good are becoming better and the bad are becoming worse. Mm. Whether swords will be used, we do not know. Whether they will be sheathed or unsheathed, we do not know. I love this last line. There is only one thing that we do know, Jess. That is that if truth wins, which it will win, but the truth can't lose. So we know, Jesse, the truth will win. So when we know the end of the story in the book of Revelation, we win. So don't feel everybody, you know, gets down and says, man, that the world is in terrible shape. Absolutely true. But you know what? We have our confidence in Jesus Christ, not in any government. That's the key right now, Jesse, that I see people are saying, let the government pay for this. Let the government do this. If the government has the answer. Jess, Ronald Reagan said it back in 1980. The problem is the government.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Sorry. Did I say that? Problem. I got a little political in that one, didn't I?
No, that's true. That's absolutely true. I just want to mention before I go talk about one of the greatest laymen that ever lived.
Oh, yeah, you got to get
this,
that in.
This Saturday, June 5th, I'm going to be over in Bakersfield, California.
Awesome.
It's going to be called the Gardens at Mill Creek in Bakersfield. It's going to be a conference for men and women.
Good.
From 2:30 p.m. to 9 p.m. Hope to see you there. It's being sponsored by the Catholic Men's Fellowship, but it's for men and women this Saturday, June 5th. Also, June 6th, make sure you all participate in some type of procession.
Yeah.
Either Corpus at your
Christi.
Parish. Corpus Christi Sunday on June 6th. Either at your parish or with the diocese. I know here in downtown Phoenix, Bishop Holmes Street is going to have a procession in downtown Phoenix from 6 a.m.
Awesome.
to 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. And there's also going to be one in every parish out here. So make sure that you go out there and publicly demonstrate that you believe that Jesus Christ is here on planet Earth, body, blood, soul, and divinity in a sacramental presence.
Well said, Jesse. And I want to just say that, the Eucharist is the source and summit of the Christian life. And I'm going to tell you, you can't fight a battle without that. Without being close to Jesus Christ in the Eucharist, you lose. And again, that's why Corpus Christi is that time that we share our belief in the real presence. And let's be honest, Jesse, 80% of the Catholics don't even believe in the real presence. We need to be much more bolder about our belief in the real presence and teach people who that is. Because right now, Jess, one of the weaknesses in the church, I just saw this interview on statistics, and we're below 10% of the Catholics even showing up for Holy Mass in America today. Less than 10%. That's pitiful. And think about that. Bishop Strickland's going to come on after our show. He's going to talk about that. He tweeted, it's pathetic. And you know who he blamed, Jesse? We bishops.
Yeah.
No, he did. So anyhow, folks, listen to the Bishop Strickland Hour after the Terry and Jesse show every Tuesday. Go ahead, Jess.
St. Justin Martyr, he died in 165 mm-hmm. AD. He was among the first Christian philosophers. He was born to a pagan Greek family in the Holy Land,
right.
Palestine.
Yep.
And so as a young man, he studied one system of philosophy after another, and he was really attracted to Platonism, Socrates, and all the Greek thinkers. But through Plato, he came to know and accept much of Christianity. Then he ended up finding out that all the great answers of life and existence are better taught by the Catholic Church. St. Justin was a layman. He was about 33 years old when he became a Catholic Christian. He remained a layperson, but he actively proclaimed the gospel. He was one of the first apologists or defenders of Christianity.
Yep.
And St. Justin became a dedicated philosopher. He combined the gospel with the best elements of Greek philosophical thought. He was also a missionary. He stayed twice in Rome. And in the year 165, St. Justin was denounced as a Christian, and he was arrested along with five other men and women. and upon being ordered by the Roman governor to offer sacrifice to the Roman gods, St. Justin replied, quote, "No right-minded man forsakes truth for falsehood," and his companion said, quote, "Do with us as you will. We are Christians, and we cannot sacrifice to idols," close quote. So St. Justin and the others were therefore beheaded, and now we call him St. Justin Martyr. Pray for us.
And Jesse, one more thing I want to add about the Mass and St. Justin Martyr. If you remember this, I know from apologetics, because it converts a lot of Protestants. They look at what Justin Martyr put down for the format of the Mass, of Holy Mass in the second century, and it's just a remarkable thing, because it's the same thing we're doing today, 1,800 years later. And so what that did about the belief in the real presence of Christ, the Mass as a sacrifice, you show that to a Protestant and say, hey, you know, let's get back to early Christianity, brother. Okay, well, let's read St. Justin Martyr, what he had to say about the Mass. And Jess, it's the fathers of the church that really affect people in a positive way. That's why I encourage people to get the Juergens three-volume set. It's a great set on the fathers of the church. Jesse, when we come back, it looks like we're going to have Father Stephen Imbarato, Catholic radio host. He's going to talk about the first ever National Men's March. We'll protest the mass murder of abortion. Stay with us here on the Terry and Jesse Show. This is coming up June 12th of this year. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
The Terry and Jesse Show. Do we have Father Stephen?
Yes, we do. Yes.
Okay. Yes. Father Steve, welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. We'd like you to introduce yourself to the audience. Tell us a little bit about your apostolic work, your priestly ministry, and what apostolates you've been involved with and what you're doing right now.
Wow, in 40 minutes?
Yeah, right, Father. We could cover that in about... Father, for those who don't know your background, just share a little bit on the bird's eye view, like an airline. You're up in the airline, 40,000 foot.
Well, I'm a retired priest of the Archdiocese of Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Wow.
Been retired a couple of years, even though I'm only approaching 70 now. Worked for Priest for Life for 3.5 years. When I came back to the new Archbishop, he, I guess, not too enamored with my pro-life activism,
which includes
getting arrested 5 times, said, well, I don't think I have any place for you. And I said, well, I'll take early retirement. Of course, I could have said, well, canonically, you got to find me a place. But I figured if he doesn't want me, I'll go for the early retirement. He said, yes. So now I do this On the Road for Life ministry under the umbrella of LifeMinistriesUS.org, LifeMinistriesUS.org. But my claim to real fame is I'm a great-grandpa priest. I have 4 beautiful grandchildren and 3 great-grandchildren. My oldest granddaughter, Ariane, has blessed me with 3 children, awesome. 3 great-grandchildren. Unfortunately, that came from my adopted son, John, who unfortunately 7 years ago took his own life. Oh. So for those of you who want to find out more about my very interesting life, my vocation story, my late life vocation story, my abortion testimony, my activism, you can go to, well, you can Google, I guess, the protest priest. That's where I come up under most of the time, or just check out my name on social media, Google it, plenty of information. My life is an open book, which is really the way I like it to be. And it's so good to be with you guys today. I hope you guys had a wonderful weekend and enjoying this great feast of one of my favorite martyrs, Justin Martyr.
And why is he Father, let me ask Justin Martyr. We just talked about him. What makes him one of your favorites? What is it he did?
Well, you were talking about it, Terry, right? His 2 depictions of the early Mass, right? The Mass with catechumens, the Mass without catechumens.
Right.
And of course, I say the same thing to everybody that you said, Terry. You know, when my evangelical brothers and sisters say the Catholic Church has it wrong, I always ask them, where do we go wrong? When did we go off the rail? Right. Pick a year. And then let's go back to church history prior to that year. And let's see if what they believed prior that year is closer to what you believe or closer to what I believe.
Well, we're
of course, going the Justin Martyr is a beautiful way to gently take the hammer and beat him over the head with it. Not to hurt him, but just so they come a little woke about Catholicism.
Awesome.
Father, you have a big event that you're part of. You're hosting along with Jim Havens,
yeah,
who's another friend, Catholic radio host.
Good guy.
And it's the first ever national men's march to defend the least of these and call for an end of abortion sanctioned by the Daily Mass murder. It's going to be on June 12th in Washington, D.C. You're going to be there. Tell us a little bit about this event and how did this come to fruition?
Yeah.
Well, I've been co-hosting radio shows with Jim over a year now, probably going back to the beginning of 2020, maybe the end of 2019. I've lost track. We did a radio show called Stand Out for Life on Saturday mornings, and then he got the daily show he has now, The Simple Truth,
good,
which is on Station La Crosse Radio. Mm-hmm. It's a daily show, and so he wanted to keep me once a week. I have no idea why, but I co-host Fridays with Father on The Simple Truth on Station La Crosse Radio. So we, I guess probably about 3 weeks ago now, it wasn't long ago, we had been really discussing the whole issue of men needing to rise up. And of course, we've done shows with your very good, your Bishop Jesse, my very good friend, Bishop Olmstead.
Mm.
And of course, he did Into the Breach of several years back. And I was a big fan of that. And then Layla Miller, who's with the is in your diocese, Phoenix.
Yeah,
I'm good friends
right
with her.
Yep.
Two Laylas, Layla Miller and Layla Lawler, did the Rise Up Men. And so Jim has been doing podcasts directed towards men. I've experienced five aspects of fatherhood in my life. That's another dimension of my ministry, another dimension of my life. And so we've been talking about the whole men's thing, how men need to rise up. And Jim says, look, at the Holy Spirit prompting me to do a men's march in Washington, D.C. So this was like the middle of May. And I said, well, OK, let me pray about it. I said, I'm sure I'll get on board. And I said, we can plan something for the fall. So a couple of days later, he got back to me and he says, look, and I'm really feeling the strong prompting by the Holy Spirit. I think we need to do it June 12th. June 12th. I said, a month from now, you want to do a national men's march in Washington, D.C.? I said, well, okay. I said, I'm going to accept the fact that our Lord is speaking to me through you. My default position always to something that is moral, including something that's activism related, because I'm an activist at heart. I said, I'm on board. So that is where we came up with the men's march for June 12th. Again, I encourage everyone to go to themensmarch.com, themensmarch.com. And whether you can make it on such short notice to DC or not, we want this to be the beginning of a nationwide men's movement. And of course, there are so many men's groups all over the country doing many, many great things. You guys were talking about what's going on in California. I think it's this Saturday?
Yes, that's Bakersfield.
And so many men's groups doing ministries, groups, organizations, doing a variety of things. This focus now is to stand up and witness for our moms, for our babies who are being mass murdered. Of course, our babies from the moment of conception till birth is the only excluded class under our Constitution. And what we are facing now is government-sanctioned, government-protected, government-funded daily mass murder of preborn children. This is the constitutional crisis in our country, has been for 50 years. Nobody calls it a constitutional crisis. I always refer it the way I've just referred it to you. And so we are going to take what Jesus gives us. We're going to take as many men as are willing to come on June 12th in Washington, D.C. We're going to meet at Cesar Santangelo's Surgery Clinic Abortion Facility, mm-hmm, which is on F Street, about 5-6 blocks from the White House, a place that's very near and dear to my heart because I've been arrested 3 times trying to save babies in that particular abortion facility. It's an 11-floor high-rise building on the fourth floor. We're going to gather there, and then we're going to march to Lafayette Park right across Pennsylvania Avenue from the White House. We're going to have a rally there again to witness against the daily mass murder of preborn children, government sanctioned, government protected, government funded with our tax dollars. Daily mass murder of preborn children. We're going to stand up and witness for our moms who are being wounded and our babies who are being slaughtered.
Father, I like the way this article reads on LifeSite about the event. It says the men will then march 5 to 7 blocks to the White House where an apostate Catholic lives. That's from
that, yeah, life. Exactly.
That's from LifeSite News.
I don't know if that's my terminology, but it sounds like it.
So, we want to sound the alarm. We want to draw attention to what's going on, the daily mass murder, like you said, about all the preborn. Something very interesting, I think, that you and your partner, Jim, came up with. You want all the men to wear suits and the priests to wear clerics. It says here there will only be one banner and no signage will be allowed. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, we're going to allow signage, and actually, as we get closer, probably starting next week, we'll tell men, if you want to bring signs, drop them off at the rally site in Lafayette Park, but come over to the Sergi Clinic on F Street with no signs. We have one banner. Now, if you go back to, I am a big devotee of Martin Luther King and sustained peaceful protests, sustained nonviolent demonstrations, so however you want to refer it. And if you look at all the pictures of Martin Luther King Jr. and all of his civil rights activists, they would walk shoulder to shoulder, sometimes with a banner, sometimes without a banner, because, of course, back in those days, everybody knew what they were doing. Today, you need a banner because no one's going to know why you're protesting. But they were impeccably dressed. They were dressed like gentlemen. They were dressed like men. They were dressed in suits. And Jim and I were very struck by that. I'd always been struck by that. The courage of those men walking down the street of Selma, Main Street of Selma, Birmingham, knowing that at any moment some racist from a rooftop could start picking them off one by one, but impeccably dressed. And so it came to us that we would like the men to be dressed in suits, to be professionally dressed. And of course, I would expect every priest to come in as clerics. And we're just going to have the one banner. The one banner that's going to lead us, and that banner is going to say, America, repent, let's stop murdering our preborn children. And we will process in that way. Now, we have Reverend Clenard Childress coming, Walter Hoy coming, maybe some other Black leaders coming. So we feel it's going to be ethnically diverse, which we are very, very happy about. We want it to be. And then once we get to the rally site in Lafayette Park, if people want to bring abortion victim images, if people want to bring other type of signs, as long as they're
appropriate.
Yeah, appropriate. Well, I don't know, Terry. I'm not sure that's the right word. Okay. Because, of course, a lot of people think abortion victim images are not appropriate.
I understand.
But yeah, no bad language.
Yeah, exactly.
No, you know what I mean, right? We and women too. Women can come to the rally. We prefer though that the men process in unity from the Sergi Clinic to the rally point. Then everybody can join us, and we'll have a full blown rally protest, however you want to call it, across from where the apostate president lives.
Yeah, Father, I want to make the point that what you're doing is going to save lives. Okay, there's a supernatural look. Application here by going out and witnessing for your faith and witnessing for life. And then Joe Scheidler, who wrote that book, 99 Ways to Close an Abortion Clinic, always said that when there's somebody outside in a clinic praying, being there, it really makes an effect on the men and women that go in for abortions, because they realize just because it's legal doesn't make it right. And so I want to ask you, when we come back from the break, about your men's march and how this is going to save babies' lives by making this march and this witness through your prayers and sacrifices. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. Father Stevens with us talking about a first ever National Men's March to protest the mass murder of abortionists. It's coming up June 12th. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. I had a teaser at this break about Father Stephen giving us some explanation of why this first ever National Men's March, that they're going to be protesting the mass murder of abortion June 12th in Washington, D.C. What's the effect on the supernatural level and also on the natural level, Father? Give us your answer to that, please.
Well, I have been doing ministry in front of abortion mills now for 25 years, actually, my pro-life activism, which led me in front of abortion mills in New Jersey, led me to the seminary. I've started two pregnancy resource centers, mm-hmm. one while I was in the seminary in Hartford, Connecticut, and then one after I got ordained to the priesthood in the Archdiocese of Santa Fe, both of them next to local abortion mills, mm-hmm. both of them still going strong, still saving babies.
Good.
And they don't call me the protest priest for nothing, because I believe that everything we do to defend the babies' lives, to end abortion, we do in protest of the daily mass murder of preborn children. And so I believe that even Christ's crucifixion was the ultimate protest against sin, the ultimate protest against evil. And so us going to these modern day Calvaries, whether it just be one or two people praying, even silently in front of these abortion facilities, become a witness to the women and the men going in. But if we can witness in numbers in front of these abortion facilities, it not only sends a message to those who are going into the facility, but those who are in the neighborhood around the facility. Yeah. And of course, the medical workers, the doctors, the so-called medical professionals. And of course, it stirs up the evil one. Yeah. And I truly believe that if you can peacefully, prayerfully, through protest, and again, not just standing there praying, but bringing signs and bringing a presence, you are going to create a situation where women who are thinking about abortion, who are looking for just some small impetus to change their minds, will come around a corner, see that type of witness in front of an abortion facility and say, I'm not even getting out of the car. That's it. I'm not getting out of the car.
Right.
And there's a lot of disagreement within the pro-life movement as to what is a proper presence in front of an abortion facility. But I'll ask you guys this.
Tell me.
I've gone into abortion facilities, into waiting rooms, and been arrested in waiting rooms, in hallways, outside of waiting rooms 5 times. Mm-hmm. Where would you rather save the baby's life, turn the woman around? In a waiting room, on the sidewalk in front of an abortion facility, or before she even gets out of the car? Right. Before she gets out of the car.
Of course.
Right.
Of course.
And so there's strategies designed to do different things. But this type of presence is going to save babies.
That's right.
Not only that, I think create this. I always say that. And I told Jim this. I said, look, I told Father Frank when I worked for Father Frank, I said, my activism, saying yes to the Blessed Virgin Mary, and again, the feast day of June 12th is the feast day of the Immaculate Heart of Mary in the year of St. Joseph. I was born on March 19th. I'm a child of St. Joseph, Reverend Stephen Joseph Imbarato. A lot going on there, right?
Yeah.
But if I want to say yes to our Lord, our Lady, and be hopefully the spark or part of a spark that the Holy Spirit will use to set the world on fire, to set the nation on fire, not like the BLM set the nation on fire, but the way our Lord speaks about how he wishes that it was already ablaze, yeah. right? And this is the way it works. This is Emmett Till. This is Rosa Parks, right?
Yes.
Now, I'm not saying I'm Emmett Till. I'm not saying I'm Rosa Parks. And I'm not saying that this is going to be the spark that the Holy Spirit uses. But unless we're willing to say yes and get out of the boat, into the storm, follow Jesus, the spark's never going to come. And I believe one of these days and one of these activism events, with or without me, the Holy Spirit is going to use the spark that's created to turn this country on its ear, bring conversion to this country, and decisively end the daily mass murder of preborn children.
My boy, praise God. I hope that day comes soon. Jess?
Hey, amen. It's Father, it's interesting that you're doing the march on the Feast of the Immaculate Heart of the Blessed Virgin Mary in the right. post-1962 calendar, and also you're doing this march in the year of St. Joseph, right before Father's Day. I don't think that's a coincidence that you and your buddy Jim chose that date. Is there something about that date that you guys...
Well, and not only that, as much as they're still going to gather by Zoom, all right, the week, all right, between the March and Father's Day, the USCCB is meeting.
Right.
Where the jury, I guess, is still out on whether they're going to discuss the Eucharistic document. But we also want to send a message to the USCCB because, you know, guys, I've laid out the paradigm, and anyone can go find the video on my web pages. I've laid out the paradigm as to why abortion has gone on for 50 years in this country unabated. Is because you have two political parties. One is the party of omission, who on a federal level has done virtually nothing
right.
to decisively end the preborn child killing in this country. The other party, of course, is the party of commission that thinks it's okay to kill babies up to the day of birth. And people may ask, well, how's that? How have they been allowed to do that for 50 years? Well, because the mainstream corporate pro-life movement has allowed the party of omission to get away with their nothingness for 50 years. And unfortunately, the enablers of the party of death, the party of commission, is the USCCB. Because I tell everybody, the only reason why there's an abortion plank in the Democratic platform is because the USCCB has not confronted the Democrats and said, you either drop this abortion plank in your platform or we're dropping all of our support of you.
Well said.
Now, faced with that,
yes.
with 50% of Catholics voting for the Democratic Party, they would be faced with what? A decisive
of course.
Alternative. Drop the abortion plank or cease to exist as a party.
Yep.
So that's the paradigm. That's been the paradigm. People need to understand it for them to really make decisions in regards to how we're going to decisively end the daily mass murder of preborn children.
Well said.
Father, I've basically seen that this is beyond politics, like you said. I mean, we've lost the U.S. House. We've lost the Senate. We've lost the White House. And even the Supreme Court, it's kind of up for grabs with John Roberts. So at this point, I don't really look to politics for the end of this child killing. I agree with what you're saying. It has to be a national movement of men, because it was it was 9 Supreme Court justices that gave us Roe versus Wade. There was a man-caused problem. It's men that take women to abortion clinics. It's men that pay the dollar amount. It's men that impregnate them. This is a man-caused problem. This has to be a man-caused solution. So I'm glad that you're leading the charge, Father.
Well, I'm hoping that Jesus and the Holy Spirit are leading the charge, and that Jim and I are just doing what we want all men to do. Say yes. Say yes. I encourage my followers each and every day to wake up and say, Lord, what more can I do today to unite myself to you on the cross? Lord, what more can I do today to save a baby's life or feed a hungry person, whatever your particular gift of the Holy Spirit is? But most people follow me are pro-life minded, pro-life activists. So what can we do today, Lord, to save even one baby's life. And so this is really a baby step to register at themensmarch.com and start getting updates. If you cannot make it to DC, although I think that is the next step, there are guys driving from Florida the morning, the night before. Jim's flying in the day before. He'll be flying in the same night. He's got five kids at home. It's a 36-hour trip for him. I know there's guys making a day trip of it. That's what we're asking, to make a day trip, a 36-hour trip, come to Washington, D.C., march with us. The event itself is only going to be 3 hours from 11 to 2, so you have plenty of time to get to D.C., plenty of time to get to home. If you're within 5 hours of D.C., I believe the weather is going to be beautiful. I believe it's going to be a great feast day of the Immaculate Heart of Mary in the month of the Sacred Heart of Jesus in the year of St. Joseph. I don't know how much more grace prompting anybody needs to come to D.C. on that day.
Father, we've got 2 minutes left with you. I want to ask you this. For those people that can be there, great. And those people, maybe for whatever reason, they can't physically be there. Is there a website? Is there something that they can still connect with? And also, my follow-up question will be action items for all people listening. What action items would you give individuals to help protect the unborn in the sense of spiritual and also practical, and this, not just practical, in other words, things that we should be doing on a daily basis to speak up for the unborn? Give us your thoughts.
Yeah, real quick, themensmarch.com, themensmarch.com, whether you can come or not, register,
right.
Register.
Exactly.
Because we're hoping this is the seed, the beginning of a movement, yeah. Right? So this is only the beginning. This is not a one-time event.
Yeah.
And we want to unite all the men's movements all over the country and activate them towards discipling endness. If you can do one thing, get down to these modern day Calvaries, these abortion mills. The paradox of the abortion mill is they are once, these modern day Calvaries are the most innocent blood of our cultures being shed because of the sins of the culture, and they are the gates of hell. And so as my ministry On the Road for Life is all about ministering to people in front of these abortion mills, celebrating mass in front of these abortion mills, bringing the Eucharist to the abortion mills, doing prayers of minor exorcism, exorcism of location at these abortion mills, that is the greatest thing you can do, even if it's just once a month, even if you got to travel an hour and a half to get there. Go to these modern day Calvary, stand up and witness for life, stand up for the moms, to the moms, for the babies, and let's decisively end this daily mass murder of preborn children.
Amen. Father Stephen, thanks for joining us here on the Terry and Jesse Show. Keep it up. May God bless you in the work of saving unborn babies' lives.
Amen. Love you guys. Thank you. Give them heaven.
Amen. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Love does not rejoice in what is wrong, but rejoices with the truth.
Amen.
1 Corinthians 13:6. That reminds me of Father James Altman.
Yes.
Love rejoices in the truth. And it also reminds me of Father James Morton. Love does not rejoice in what is wrong. I think that verse describes both of them.
Yep.
Father Dwight Longnecker wrote an article juxtaposing these two priests called James, The Tale of Two Father James. With the news that conservative priest Father James Altman has been asked by his bishop to resign, so one is faced with the contrast between Father James Altman and another controversial priest, Father James Martin S.J. Both priests have somewhat of a prophetic voice in the church.
Yep.
Father Altman from the conservative side and Father Martin from the liberal side.
Yep.
Father Altman castigates Catholics who voted for Joe Biden. Father Martin openly supported Biden. As such, the two Father James are poster boys for the two Catholic churches in America today.
Yes.
Father Altman for the traditional, orthodox, strict version of Catholicism. Terry and me are part of that church.
You betcha we are.
Father Martin for the accommodating, relativistic, and subjective version of Catholicism.
Mm-hmm.
Father James Altman is doctrinal. Father Martin is pastoral. Father Altman is rational. Father Martin is sentimental. It is interesting that both priests see themselves as standing up for the true faith and see themselves as speaking truth to power. Father Martin campaigns against institutional homophobia and laments the church's teachings on homosexuality. Father Altman campaigns against a Catholic hierarchy that is in bed with the abortion-loving Democratic Party.
It's true, though. It's just a fact.
In such situations, it's all too easy for folks on one side or the other to throw the H words around. The enemy is branded as either a heretic or a hypocrite or both. Terry, take it away.
You know, Jess, the other thing about this, you're describing these two priests, but here's the unfortunate situation we're in. In the church, we have Father James Altman being told by his bishop that he's divisive, okay, because he's telling people the truth about the gospel. Now, Father Martin, on the other hand, from the highest levels of the Catholic Church, the Pope himself meets with him, puts him on boards for, you know, committees to proclaim the gospel, and you're going, wait a minute, this can't be. Why is this going on? These two men are diametrically opposed to what they teach about the Catholic faith, and both say they're Catholic priests. Jesse, this is scandal, okay? I mean it. It's scandal. I'll tell you why. Number one, it's scandal for Father Martin to go around and proclaim the idea that homosexuality is an okay lifestyle in the Catholic Church. And it's also scandalous, in my humble opinion, tell me I'm all wet, but I think I got it, that Father James Altman is being persecuted and told, we got to get you out as a pastor. We got to shut you up. We're not going to have anything for you to do. We've got to remove you because you're divisive by the way you preach. And what he's preaching, Jesse, is the unadulterated Catholic Church perennial teachings of the church. That's scandalous that his bishop is not supporting him. That's my take.
Terry, and it's funny that Father James Altman gets called divisive.
Yep, that's it.
Because I'll tell you, that's a New Testament word. When it comes to our Lord Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 12,
where it is, yep.
Verse 51, mm-hmm. our Lord Jesus Christ, he says quite clearly, he says, do you suppose that I came to grant peace on earth? I tell you no, but rather division. From now on, five members in one household will be divided. Three against two and two against three.
Right.
And so the Lord Jesus Christ was a divisive person based on truth. So I think Father Altman should wear that as a badge of honor. If he's being called divisive, that's what our Lord came to do, to separate the wheat from the chaff, Terry.
And Jesse, all of the saints, whether it's Saint Ignatius of Loyola, if it's Saint Athanasius from the 4th century, they were all described as being divisive. And this is something that, Jesse, if people were telling me about you, Jess Romero, Jess, you're such a good guy. You know, I'd say, Jess, get over here, dude. You must be doing something wrong. See, I believe, Jesse, that unless you have enemies when it comes to a culture like we're living in, a secular culture, that the culture hates what you're doing, then you know what you're doing is right. But if the culture says, hey, you're right with us, the Holy See, you're right with us. Let's do our bottles. Let's do the earth. Where you're right with saying what the secular world is saying. I don't believe that's coming from the Holy Spirit. I think that Christ taught us that if we're going to be with him, the world will hate us. Am I onto something, Jess?
That's exactly right, because we're called to be counterculture.
Yep.
We're called to go against, as St. Paul says, the spirit of this age.
Yep.
And when you look at these two priests, these two Father James, Father James Martin's on record for supporting the pro-LGBTQ New Age ministry, which has been disciplined by the church for promoting teachings that are contrary to the Catholic faith. He also praised the dissident nun, Sister Gramick, who promotes lesbianism, calling her a saint.
Unbelievable.
And Father James Martin, in many manipulative and devious ways, he's used his media platform to promote the blessing of same-sex unions to encourage homosexuality. And so it would seem that Father Martin's sort of leftist prophetic voice is beloved by the contemporary Catholic hierarchy.
Yeah.
And Father Martin, don't hold your breath. He's not going to be disciplined anytime
soon. No, that's
soon.
Bad, too.
He's not going to be asked to step down from his prestigious editorship, and forsake his celebrity New York lifestyle or step away from his huge social media pulpit. Instead, Father James Martin is celebrated and his works as the communications guru to the Vatican, and he's been invited to even personal face-to-face meetings with the Pope, Terry.
Yeah.
Father Altman, on the other hand, has fearlessly upheld the traditional Catholic faith and has never come close to preaching anything contrary to the gospel. But what's his sin? Divisive. Well, I'll tell you one thing. Why has nobody suggested in the USCCB that the New Age ministry or Father James Martin, who scandalized thousands of Catholics, aren't they divisive?
Yeah. Jesse, Bishop Joseph Strickland, who's going to be on our show network here at Virgin Most Powerful when we are finished with our show, he actually asked the bishops at a conference, guys, do we really believe in the teachings of the Catholic Church when we allow someone like a Father James Martin running around telling people that homosexuality is okay? Gentlemen, do we believe or not? And so I would say this, Jesse, as a layman, okay? And I'm going to put my name on the line because I believe this. Another saint said this, and I'm just quoting him. If I was there with Pope Francis right now and in his presence, I would say, Holy Father, I pray for you every day. But can I give you the advice of a saint right now? Because this is what we need. Saint Pope Felix III in 475, this is what I tell Pope Francis. Holy Father, the Pope said this, your predecessor, not to oppose error is to approve it, and not to defend truth is to suppress it. And indeed, to neglect to confound evil men when we can do it is no less a sin than to encourage them. Jesse, this was said in 475 AD, as you know. And here's my point, Jess. I'm not here to judge the Pope. I'm here to lovingly share the perennial teachings with anybody who will hear it. And he's the vicar of Christ. He's not the superior of Christ. So he can't change these teachings. But I want to ask him to follow his predecessors and look at what happens when we don't oppose error. The world thinks we approve it. Case in point, Father James Martin. I'm done.
Yeah, if you quoted that, Terry.
Yeah, what would happen to me, Jeff?
No, he would probably say that's pre Vatican II. I don't pay attention to that. No, I'm going to be honest with you. Modernist theologians, they'll say, I don't care about anything before 1965. That's what they would just tell you.
I've heard that.
And by the way, that's why they don't quote the Bible, by the way, when they give their opinions most of the time.
Yeah.
But going back, you know, what's an action item? I'll tell you what an action item is.
Yeah, we need some.
It's right in the Catechism in paragraph 828.
Mm-hmm.
What do we need when there's a lot of sin in the world? We need heroic virtue. That's what the Catechism says. Heroic virtue. We need people that are going to be faithful to God's church, faithful to God's grace. And the Catechism says we need saints, we need models, we need intercessors. And it says the saints have always been the source and origin of renewal in the most difficult moments in the church's history.
Yep.
Holiness, it says here, is the hidden source an infallible measure of her apostolic activity and missionary zeal. That's what we need right now, is for every single baptized Catholic to say, I'm done. I'm going to become a saint. I'm going to stop with the happy talk. I'm done with being a secular humanist. Yeah. I'm going to be a saint.
Yeah, Jesse, tomorrow we set up an interview with a pastor from Canada, Pastor Arthur Pawlowski. He's the one who was arrested in Canada for keeping his church open during the pandemic. And when you describe, and he describes what took place and what price he was willing to pay for keeping his church open, it should inspire all of us listening that as Catholics to stand up for unborn children, stand up for our Catholic rights, stand up for our Christian faith. Because you know what? When people don't stand for this, they won't stand for anything. They're just going to roll over. That's why we're bringing the priest on today. We need more role models of people who are willing to take a stand. Because right now, Jesse, too many of us are being quiet. Basically, we got to stand up, get involved with that National Men's March, the protests, Get involved in protecting your churches from the idea that states are going to shut you down, shut you up. This is the time to stand up and stand up with Christ, with a Bible in one hand, as Jesse says, a rosary in one hand, and say, look, not on my watch. I am going to preach, and if it means that I'm going to pay a price for it, so be it, brother.
That's right. As St. Peter says in Acts 2:40, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. St. Padre Pio says, pray, hope, and don't worry.
Exactly.
Worry is useless. God is merciful, and God will hear your prayers.
Hey, Jesse, up next is Bishop Joseph Strickland, the most outspoken bishop in the country. Guess what network carries him? Yeah, Virgin Most Powerful and all of our affiliates. And guess why they don't want him? Because he speaks the truth. And that's what we do here with truth, with Virgin Most Powerful. We proclaim the truth and charity. Jesse, what state should we be living in, brother?
State of grace. Don't live in a state of mortal sin. And let's pray America great again.
Again, up next, Bishop Joseph Strickland, the strongest bishop in America here on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Thanks again for all of your support here. Go to us on our website, vmpr.org. Pick up all the other broadcasts that we have here on Virgin Most Powerful. May God richly bless you, and get ready for Bishop Joseph Strickland here on Virgin Most Powerful. God love you.